Thank you, Ben, for that wonderful time of worship. Before we begin our prayer time, I want to point out that in your worship bulletin or in the ends of some of the chairs are some surveys for y'all in this service. And I want to tell you about them now so that you have something to do during the sermon. You can fill those out. And at the end of the service, on the way out, if you just put them in the basket that's on the table out there, or just you can leave them up here if you're not going out that way. But we'll be running these surveys for the next several weeks. You just need to fill it out once. But if you would do that, that would help us with our planning. As we come to our prayer time, a couple things we wanted to remember. Our campers, we've got over a dozen kids leaving for camp today. Selena's taking a big group down. Brother Michael and about 10 men from our church are hiking in Idaho. Michael checked the weather. It was 25 degrees at night there and 75 in the day. We'll be thinking about them for sure. We've been asked to pray for Luke Powers, Teresa Lakin's father. You'll have your own prayers. Let's begin our prayer time now. Lord of all, we thank you for this wonderful time of worship. The band has just ushered us into your presence, where we sit and feel peace and rest and healing and praise you and let you speak to our hearts. We thank you that you meet with us whenever we come to you. And we take our cares and our worries and our hurts, and for these few moments, Lord, we just place them in your hands. And we're going to leave them there with you because you can take care of them and we don't know what to do with them anyway. So use this time, Lord, to heal us and to give us rest from our worries and cares. Hear the names and needs of those we love. Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayers, and we thank you that you call us to lift up our eyes to you, leave our cares behind, and to look at a world that's hurting, a world that's hungry, in some cases sweltering, they don't even have a fan. How can we help, Lord? How can we help feed your people and make them comfortable? How can we visit the lonely and tend the sick? Lord, how can we be in ministry to the abused? How can we help students in the schools who don't have support at home? Lord, you know. You know. Show us and teach us, we pray. As we pray together the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Mary, I thought you were going to get these things done today.
Oh, Martha, I'm sorry. I guess I forgot.
We're having company tonight.
Martha, I'm sorry I forgot.
You always forget. Sorry's not going to make dinner or clean up this mess.
What's the big deal?
It's business, it's important, and I need to make a good impression.
Why? I thought it was just friends.
No, it's business. We need to clean up this mess. Haven't you done anything today?
Yes. I did a lot of reading. Tried to figure out what...
Well, I'm sure it's not as important as anything you're doing.
Don't make me out to be the bad guy. Why am I always the bad guy? Just because I'm trying to do something with my life?
What, running around, being stressed, snapping at people?
Don't!
Come on, just because you're out trying to save the world doesn't mean you're actually doing anything worthwhile.
Listen to what you're saying.
No, I don't want to talk about this.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke. You'll recognize it from the video. Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all of the work myself? Tell her to help me." Jesus answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray, please. Lord, show us your way and help us to choose it. Amen. Okay, y'all, it was his parents who were coming to visit. But it seemed that I was the one doing all the work. His parents were coming, but I was the one cooking and cleaning and planning menus and shopping and making up the bed and hanging up the towels and putting the leaf in the table. You know, all that stuff that you got to do when you've got guests coming. I had begun working a full week before on my preparations. His preparations seemed to consist of reading the newspaper and taking a nap. But you know, I didn't say anything about all of that because, well, I'm just not petty like that. You're supposed to be able to read my mind anyway, right? I shouldn't have to tell you if I need or want help because then you might help me. And if you help me, how can I play the martyr? And I love to play the martyr. So, no, I didn't ask for help because, well, I have the spiritual gift of pouting. I'm actually very strongly gifted in pouting, and I exercised that gift for the whole weekend until his parents finally left, and we were all tired, and I was stripping the bed, and he returned to his recliner to recuperate. When I heard the footrest of that recliner, man, oh man, something inside of me just snapped. And rage spewed out of my mouth like water out of a fire hydrant. You know, you can stuff your anger down and play the martyr for only so long before all that nasty stuff comes spilling out again. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said. I think that's exactly the sort of thing that happened in our story today about Mary and Martha. I think Martha had stuffed it down and played the martyr as long as she could, and then she just blew. When all of her slamming doors and banging of pots didn't lure Mary into the kitchen, Martha stomped into the room and chewed out Jesus, expecting him to send Mary back into the kitchen. Well, we know what it's like to be stuck in the kitchen while everyone else is sitting around waiting for a dish to rattle. We know what it's like when we'd rather be visiting with our guests, but we've got to do something for them instead. At one time or another, each of us has been the worker bee while someone else has been sitting and resting and chatting. It's happened to each of us. So when I hear this story, I want to praise Martha for all of her work. But instead of praise, all that Martha gets is one more thing to do. Do you ever notice that? Now, in addition to all of her work that she's been doing, she needs to find time for prayer and meditation and solitude with Jesus. Martha gets another thing to do. Mary gets praised. Why do you think that is? Why is Mary's the example to follow? You know, Jesus' answer is gentle, but his point is clear. Time spent with Jesus is important. It's a matter of priorities and balance and choice. Jesus even says that spending time with him, in this instance, is better than serving. The choice in this story, like so many in our lives, is not between good and bad, but between good and good. We just can't do it all. Both choices are right. Both options are needed. Neither one can be left out by the true follower of Jesus. The conflict in this story is even highlighted by its placement in the Gospel of Luke. And to show that, I want to give you a test. Last week, what was Michael's scripture passage? What was the story on which his sermon was based? There are no staff members in here who remember. Staff members don't count. Yes. The Good Samaritan, David Crouch, you get the door prize. Thank you. Do you know where that story is? Does anybody know? It happens to be exactly preceding the story we read today. So if you're reading Luke in order, you read one and then the other. Last week, there was a lawyer who said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus tells a story. Remember, the man had been beaten, robbed, left for dead. Two temple-serving Jews walk by and leave him, but this hated Samaritan stops and helps him. And Michael said that the Samaritan took the oil and the wine and turned it into a sacrament of compassion. That was beautiful. He said, religious integrity isn't so much about what we do up here at the church, but it's about how we live our lives every day, where we live and work and play. And our neighbor is anyone who is in need, not just people like us. Anyone in need. If we have the mind of Christ, Jesus says, we will go and do likewise. We will work and act and serve and help. Having the mind of Jesus, it seems, sends us into the kitchen with Martha. And then we read this week's story, where essentially Jesus says, Martha, get out of the kitchen and come sit with me. So if you read these two stories back to back, as they're intended to be heard or read, it's sort of confusing to me. The Samaritan story says, go and do. Today's story says, stop doing and sit. And I just want to say, which one is it, Jesus? Make up your mind. Tell me which one to do, and I'll do it. And Jesus says, do them both. Which one applies to me? Jesus says, yes. Followers of Jesus are both and people, not either or. The Christian life Jesus modeled and taught had this natural rhythm of action and study, of work and Sabbath, of mission and prayer. So to read today's story of Mary and Martha and understand that sometimes we just need to rest our bodies and feed our souls is certainly correct. But just to read this story by itself and to take that as an eternal marching order is incorrect, and it misrepresents Jesus' teaching. This story, taken in context, suddenly turns out to be not quite the cartoon that we usually make it. We show Martha in the kitchen up to her eyeballs in soap suds. Mary's on a stool listening to Jesus. But Jesus isn't giving us a scriptural warrant to let the dishes pile up to the ceiling. If we criticize Martha and those like her too much, they may quit working altogether. And if we praise the Marys who sit and pray all day, they may never get up and do anything else. But when you take Jesus' teachings and these two stories together, it seems to me that Jesus is saying there is a time to go and do, and there is a time to sit and reflect. Knowing which is a matter of spiritual discernment and wisdom. But true disciples who follow Jesus in their right minds have this balanced combination of service and solitude. Neither story is complete without the other. Each makes its point. The Samaritan loves his neighbor, Mary loves her Lord, and both of them illustrate that great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Christian life is a life of balance. Last week's story clearly says that if we're in our right minds, we will care for our neighbors. We will go out of our way to help others. We will interrupt our lives to help those in need. You know, some of you have been doing just that, taking vacation time or leave without pay, taking a week off work to go to CFAT or Appalachia or Ecuador. Candace Dunning has interrupted her summer for 3 weeks plus travel time to better learn how to serve others through worship. Troy Weatherholt is still in Bolivia helping dig wells so that our neighbors there can have clean water. And some of y'all just hang around here at home and you mow lawns and you make visits and cook meals and donate foods and build ramps and you do repairs. You interrupt your lives to follow the example of that Samaritan. And by doing it, you are proving yourselves to be disciples of Jesus. Praise be to God. And praise be to you for following Christ's teaching. Probably fewer of us follow the example of Mary and take time off work or take vacation to just sit at Jesus' feet and soak in his presence and learn his teachings. Not so many of us do this. And Jesus interestingly says this is a better choice. Many of us work ourselves to exhaustion, but few of us will honor the Sabbath with rest and worship and time away from our Blackberries. My observation is that there are a lot more of Marthas here in this room than Marys. And sometimes I think that might be why this world is in such a mess. But some of you do choose the better way of Mary. Some of you do just block off time every day to be with Jesus. You don't just mean to do it, you actually do it. Some of you do take days off. You take Sabbaths, where really the only thing on your to-do list is just to come to church and spend time with your family and to rest and pray, having a Sabbath. Some of you even take days away for worship or retreats that require vacation time or planning. I think that's what our hiking guys are doing. Yes, they're going to go hang out with each other and they're going to love that. They're going to work their bodies hard and they're going to feel good about that. They're going to enjoy God's creation and feel good about that. But while they're hiking and carrying their 30-pound packs up the mountains, they're not talking. They're quiet and they're still. And they're going to be able to hear God speak. Praise be to God. And praise be to all of you who do these quiet things with Jesus, thereby showing yourself to be disciples. As a Christian, there are times to speak and there are times to be silent. There are times to feed others and there are times to be fed by God. A rhythm of activity and rest, a balanced Christian life. That's the life God has for us, a life of both hearing and doing. As I was studying for this sermon, I read something Teresa of Avila, a 13th century mystic, wrote. She said that for a mature Christian, the goal is actually to be Mary and Martha both at the same time, serving and at the same time aware of God's presence and sitting in study with Him. I thought that was just a breathtaking insight. So beautiful in its balance and symmetry, because that means that in the middle of my busy life, I can still find the presence of God. We can turn our hearts to God in the middle of our busy days when we're running around frazzled like Martha, like a toddler coming back to making sure mom is still in the room. We can keep coming back, turning our minds to God and turning our work into glory for Him. Every moment of our lives. Rowan Williams is the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's a busy man. He's a holy man. He's a wise man. And he talks about this wedding of our work and our worship. He said, "I have just signed the 15th letter of the morning, made the fourth uncomfortable phone call. I've just come from a meeting about next year's budget, and I'm getting ready for a session with our investors. After lunch, this afternoon I have to go to a school assembly, and tonight I have to institute a new priest in a parish. You know, all of this is okay," he says. "It's all right. It's all got to be done. But is this really the high calling God has for me?" I know that you have felt that too in your life. Some days it's just a pile of papers that you have to get through. But what Rowan Williams does and what we can do is to make those piles of paper holy moments when we say, this is what I must do next. But God is in this moment too. And as we do that, we begin to be able to recognize God in the midst of the mundane. When we hear Jesus' teaching in context, we can't value work over prayer. We can't value study and meditation over cooking and cleaning. Both are necessary. Both are commendable. Both are examples that Jesus held up how to live the Christian life. But when we are in the kitchen cleaning the sticky spilled juice off the bottom of the refrigerator, when we're sitting through the umpteenth boring meeting that we don't need to be at, we can, if we will, turn our hearts and minds to Jesus, who values both our work. God is in every moment of our lives. But will we see Him? Will we notice? When we stop and look for God, we'll be better able to get through the next meeting, the next difficult conversation, the next busy day. There is a balance and a rhythm to the Christian life. Jesus found that balance. When you read the Gospels, He was busy at work, but He found time to pull away regularly for prayer, for rest, and to be refilled for the draining work God had for Him. Jesus made His one-on-one time with God the Father a priority, and He didn't let other people trample on that time or barge into it. If your life, like mine, is sometimes way out of balance, we have a choice. Jesus said, Mary has chosen the better way. May we have the wisdom to do the same. Amen. That is our prayer, that these ancient words change us into the people Jesus would have us be. And I pray this week that you go and have times of meaningful service when you are in ministry to the world. And I pray that you take the time to sit with Jesus and listen to Him as He heals your heart and teaches you and changes you. Go in His name and go in His power. Amen.